This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, which means you're listening to me, the host, Deborah Wolf. And I've been the host of this show for quite a long time, actually, which means I've probably reached a lot of you with some really sound pet advice. And I know sometimes people preach at you, and you don't want to be preached at, but I'm going to preach at you anyway, just a little bit. There's a dog who came to camp. Most of you know I run a boarding kennel for people going on holiday. They send their dogs. And this dog, he's like sweet, and he's kind of getting almost elderly. You know, he's been around a long time now. A big dog, very mellow. All you have to do is like make a sound with your teeth, you know, a kind of clicking sound, and he'll come. You don't even have to say the word come. You just have to start to say the word come. Very, very sweet, docile, easygoing guy. Does whatever you want. He will bark at workmen. On occasion, he stayed here and workmen are here. And then all of a sudden, he's like a different dog. So I do see that there's still a young dog inside there that would protect me and would perhaps be loud and barky when necessary. But the rest of the time, this dog is basically a lovable carpet. He's just so sweet and gentle. And yet he wears a prong collar when he's not here. The people put a prong collar on him all the time. He's had this prong collar his entire life. And it's made wounds in his neck. He's got scarring. He's got wounds. He sometimes has infections. He needs creams. And no matter what we say, they just won't take the prong collar off. I don't understand why people need these collars. I really don't. The idea, the philosophy, I guess, is that it's supposed to be like a mama dog nipping at her youngster, kind of disciplining him when he pulls. Okay, I kind of get the logic there, except dogs grow up and their mother doesn't do that anymore. And she probably never did exactly in that way. And also, why don't you just get your dog to respect and love you and listen to you so you don't have to constantly be biting its neck to get it to behave? When dogs are hyper, which this dog isn't, but let's just say maybe once upon a time he was. And that's another thing. If your dog once had a problem and he's aged out of it, then catch up to what you've got today. Don't be disciplining and using equipment you needed when your dog was hyper, or maybe you had a sprained ankle or whatever. Once you've realized that the problem's over, your relationship has grown and the dog will listen to you now, take that thing off, whatever it was. Put him on a regular collar, just a regular collar that has a little bit of a choke chain in it if your dog does pull at times. And that way you can have it set on the regular collar most of the time. And if you're in a situation, maybe he's reactive approaching the dog park, or maybe he's excitable, I don't know, near balls or something. And you know, on your route, you have to pass a field of people playing ball or something like that. You could always switch it to the choke setting for that. But those collars, which are called martingale collars, even on the choke setting, never choke the dog. It's just a difference of loose and fitted. So the dog gets the message, whoa, it's fitted. The human wants something. The prong collar causes pain. And if you have a dog who's reactive, he's got too much going on, too much adrenaline, too much excitement, too much invested. You don't want to add to that with a little bit of pain, because a little shot of pain. I mean, have you ever seen a boxer, a human boxer fighting around, or, you know, a fighter in a ring? He gets hit. Now he's even more into it, right? Pain is not necessarily a deterrent, especially light pain, constant pain, consistent pain. It's not even doing what they want it to do. So I would say, get rid of your prong collar. If you say to me, well, I can't, then maybe it's time for a training session with a trainer who doesn't use prong collars. And within half an hour, I mean, for me, it would probably be 10 minutes, but within half an hour, your dog will be walking for you nicely on leash, no pain device. No infections in the neck, no wounds, no sores, and a building a relationship with you, because he's walking with you, not against you, right? He's trying to be your companion, and you're trying to be his companion instead of just causing him issues when he doesn't obey you. It's such an old way of thinking. Who wants that kind of friendship? I don't want that kind of friendship. All right, we're going to go to break and come back and talk a little more. I wasn't going to talk about dog behavior today, but it just slipped in there. So there you go. You get a little tip on why I don't recommend prong collars ever. Okay, we'll be back after break on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And, well, I want to talk about wildlife and vehicles. Here's the thing we don't often think about, right? Only 4 people a year die in Canada from wildlife hitting their car. Okay, so usually you times it by 10 if you're talking about America. So that would mean probably about 40 people, roughly. I mean, it could be more. Your rate might be worse. You guys might be worse drivers. I don't know. But in Canada, about 4 people a year die. But 10,000 animals die. So the animals are really taking a hit on this, right? 6,000 to 10,000 animals die every year in Canada because people are hitting them with their cars. So yeah, there's so much of this. I've got so many statistics sitting before me, like 20,000 collisions a year. Okay, so they're not all deaths. Some of the animals survive, maybe wounded, maybe never to have a good life again, maybe to die later. I don't know. But you got to slow down. And when you see those signs, you know, the beautiful road signs, I love these signs where it shows, like, it's funny how it's different in every place, but it'll show some kind of beautiful silhouette of a deer kind of galloping or leaping or something. And it's meant to tell you, slow down, because you're going to hit one if you go too fast. They're unpredictable, especially deer. I see them all the time on the road. And like the other day, I was on this road, Dooney Trunk Road, the speed limit 60. I was going 60, and then I saw a deer on the road, and it crossed the road, but in a very weird way. It sort of crossed the other side of traffic and then crossed in front of my car and then crossed back halfway and then decided to continue and cross back in front of my car and went into the shoulder. And so I had honked a bunch of times at the traffic, so everybody stopped, and this deer kind of did his thing. But the guy behind me in a truck was freaking out. He kept yelling at everybody who would listen. He's not even on the road. He's not even on the road. As though we should all resume speeding by at 60. Well, the deer hadn't quite decided where he was going to go. And they leap really fast. So I don't want to ruin my car or your car. I don't want to hit the deer. And the deer was an adult deer, looked like a female. It probably had babies on one side of the road or the other. So I'm anticipating more deer, right? I just don't want a collision. I don't want dead animals. I don't want damaged cars. This guy should just slow down. And all of you out there, if you're in a wildlife zone and you see an animal that you think has made it across the road, it might be part of a herd. It might have babies with it. Like, just look around, slow down, take a picture if you like. Deal with the road rager behind you. Who cares? There's more of you stopping than there are of him honking. But if you go fast and speed through, you might hit that animal. You might damage your car. You might cause a pileup with other cars. So it's totally not worth it. So just be careful. And deer are so much more common along the highways and urban places now than they were 20 or 30 years ago. And they're the ones that are really, I mean, moose, yeah, you hit one of those, you're in trouble. A few months ago in the winter, a bear ran after my tire and I hit a baby bear, but he was fine. I was going slow though. But, you know, these things do happen. Now, I know I live in the woods in a very rural place. But lately in the news, I've seen reports of bears. There was a bear that broke into a car in a suburb of Vancouver called North Vancouver. And bears are really good at getting into things. That's the thing about bears. They almost have a thumb, sort of like a raccoon, almost. And they have very strong, dexterous fingers and hands, paws, beyond human capacity to even understand the strength of a bear. I mean, really, they can topple a car, no problem. Their talons can cut through metal. Nothing really stops them, but they're very intelligent. So they can actually open your car door or your trunk because, well, they have an amazing sense of smell. So maybe your kid left a chocolate bar wrapper on the floor in the back, or maybe you did, or maybe there's bubblegum or mints. I mean, it could be anything in there, a tea bag, anything that smells like food, and they think there might be more food. So anyway, in a suburb of Vancouver, which is a big city, third largest city in Canada, so it compares to many cities of the world, lots of people. Okay, in a suburb, bear finds this car, decides there's food in it, breaks in, and he can't get out. No, he can't. Now, it's really hot here right now. We have a heat wave and no animals should be left in a car. So authorities get called and the police come and they break the back window. Yeah, because the bear was going to die from the heat. But you should see this car. Oh, my goodness. So bears are good at getting into things, but they're not always good at getting out of things. So around here, we always set our alarms and, you know, lock our cars at night, even if you're not worried about people breaking in. You don't want a bear to break into your car because trying to get out, they destroy your entire car. So that's what's happened. And just speaking of the heat, since we're talking about it, I can't believe I still have to say this, but so many animals die in hot cars. And I know it's summer all over the place right now. Well, last year, our local provincial SPCA, so the whole province-wide, the state basically, got 837 calls for animals in hot cars. That's a lot. People should not be doing that. They've already got 300 this year. So, you know, and the weather just picked up. It's been raining up until now. So that's very alarming. Anything can happen to delay you. Your dog doesn't need to get to the brink of dehydration and heat exhaustion while he waits for you. And then you come out and you rescue him over and over and over as you do your errands. That's ridiculous. Leave your dog at home with shade and water and maybe a frozen treat and cool place to be. And that's just, your dog doesn't want to be in that car. He might think he does, but he doesn't. Now, what do you do if you see one of these cars? You can't just break the window. No, you can't do that. Although I've been tempted at the chiropractor a few weeks ago. I was really tested, but you can't do that because it's against the law for one thing. But also the animal, you know, there's glass and you can get hurt. The animal can get hurt, traffic problems, all kinds of issues. The animal can escape. You know, it's really not a smart thing to do. So what do you do? Well, here you have a couple of choices. You can call this helpline. It's only for my province, 1-855-622-7722. That's the helpline. Or you can call the local RCMP, the police, basically. So, and they'll, if you call the police in your state or city, they'll be able to tell you what helpline to call if you haven't already researched it. But you might want to look it up and know the helpline because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take note of the license plate, vehicle color, make and model. If it's located to any businesses nearby, that helps them find it. But with GPS, they should be able to find it. Any address that you've got, tell them if the animal's showing signs of distress, what those signs are. And, you know, like convulsions, vomiting, staring, salivating, panting, no panting at all, any of those things. And then just stay there until they come rescue the animal. So that's what you want to do. Okay, everybody. Oh, heavy topics. We're going to go to break and come back with something beautiful. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. purchase your cat treat tray today. Go right now to cattreattray.com. That's cattreattray.com. cattreattray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Something beautiful, huh? Is that what I said? Okay, we'll come to that. We'll come to something beautiful. First, I'm going to tell you about the Montreal SPCA. What a smart idea. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, what'd they do? What'd they do? Well, they had so many calls, so many, that they were just overrun with pets, overrun completely. More were coming in, and they knew that as the time for renting came, you know, the new changeover, they were going to get even more pets, and that's what happened. So what are they doing? Well, first of all, they are lobbying to get all the rent rules to allow pets, the no pet clauses removed, which some parts of Vancouver has already done successfully. So well done on that, because that's key. People are turning over their animals just because they're not allowed to in their new rental accommodation keep them. And that's just awful, awful. All that homeless pet just for no reason. Okay. I mean, you can ask for a larger deposit. There are ways of dealing with this that's fair to the landlord, but you shouldn't be allowed to exclude pets. Anyway, that's the first thing they're doing. And the second thing they did was last Sunday, because they're so overflowing with animals and they knew they were going to get more every time it's the first of the month and people move out, this happens. So what'd they do? They made it a free adoption day. So people just had to pay a token admin fee, that's it, and they could get an animal. And the lines went out the door. So well done. Better to have dogs and cats in people's homes than in overcrowded rescues or worse. So well done, Montreal SPCA. Yay. Okay. So they had a 20% rise in abandonments in the first 4 months of the year. And they were expecting the worst on July 1st as that date approached, because that's a really big move date here. It's Canada Day. And for some reason, it's a big move date. So then the fears actually materialized. 150 animals were abandoned at the shelter in the first week of July. A quarter of them because of a move. So Montreal SPCA is now seeking to have the no pet clause removed from leases. Yes, 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 yes. And free adoption. Dun, 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 dun. So that's what you got to do. There's some rescues around here that make it so hard for people to adopt. They put you through such a rigmarole. If you want a cat, you have to promise you'll never leave a door open. You'll never have a cat door. You'll never have a kid forget to open a door. You never don't even have little kids, probably. I mean, they make it near impossible because they're so strict about their indoor only cat policy, which I do understand. I do understand cats get killed in the outdoors by traffic, by animals, and they're much safer inside. I do get that. But if your shelter's overflowing and you have no more space and can't take any more, or you're actually having to euthanize cats, why wouldn't you let people have them? A lot of these cats won't go anywhere anyway. They're already acclimatized to indoors. And the ones that would go outside and want to go outside, I got a question. Question how you keep a cat like that in. Because I don't, as you probably know from listening to the show. I have cat doors. I live on a farm, so there's coyotes and wolves and whatever else out there, raccoons and cars. And all the things that cats could come into contact with. So they probably don't live quite as long as if I'd lock them inside and never let them out and figure out artificial means to entertain and exercise them. But as you can tell from my tone of voice, I'm not going to do that. I do entertain and exercise them, but they can go and they can hunt and they can have their life outside. And mostly it's the small little mice that are their favorite game. And there's always a rodent problem when you have chickens, which I do. So they're helpful in that respect. And there's no mice in the house, at least no live ones. Dead ones, yes. And I have to deal with that, but better dead ones than live ones. That's what I figure. Now, all you people out there who are people who own pet rats, please, please, like, give me some slack here. These are not your pets. And they don't look like your pets either. Really, they don't. Okay, so back to the topic of cats. So the cat rescues around here sometimes are a little bit difficult that way. And then occasionally, like about 20 years ago, they'll get a weird cat, a cat that just makes it so difficult for them. There was this one called Sadie. And like, these places are like fortresses. They have double gates locking doors and all this. And no cat ever escapes, except Sadie. Sadie escaped regularly to the point where they'd have to hunt her down and find her. She'd come back for food. They'd get her inside. And then a few days later, whoop, Sadie got out. So they asked me to take Sadie. And I took Sadie to my farm thinking, yeah, well, whatever. One more outdoor cat. I don't mind. Yeah, 2 days later, she's sitting on my bed. So you never know what a cat's real desire in life is, if it wants to be out or in, until you give it the opportunity. Yeah, but most cats, if given the choice, most young, healthy cats would want some outdoor time. And many, many cats who have been denied that would still enjoy a catio type arrangement, a patio where they get outdoor time or yard or something, but they can't. Predators can't get at them and you're with them at the time and it's secured. So they have the ones with the fence over top. So they're completely enclosed, completely safe. And they have other variations of it. But I do recommend outdoor time for cats if you can make it possible and make it safe. So, I mean, I do have the advantage here of having so many dogs, which makes my perimeter safe, which stops the predators from coming in. And then my property extends down from the road. So the cats have very little interest in the road itself. They want to go to where the mice and things are down in the fields and by the river and near the chicken coop. So they're not very motivated to go to the road. And you kind of have to structure things so your animals are motivated, tempted to do the right thing. That's the way to do it. Okay, I promised you something beautiful. So I'll give you an update. Though we had 8 puppies born here. Basically, what happened was 2 dogs were checked in, a boy and a girl, sort of like Noah's Ark, Adam and Eve, whatever. But I didn't know that at the time. She's young. He's a little bit older, like young dog still, but she's very young. Anyway, she's a blue heeler and he's a border collie cross. And they're lively and happy and slim and fit and trim and everything's going great. And then I start to notice she looks a little chubby. It's kind of odd because we're feeding her what we're supposed to. We're measuring it and everything at the boarding kennel. No, she's looking chubby. Okay, she's starting to look like a snake that swallowed a basketball. What the heck is going on? Well, June 25th, she gave birth to 8 puppies. Yes. And they are gorgeous. Yes, they are. So now they've just opened their eyes. And when you hear this show, they'll probably be available because it appears that the owners are not coming back for the parents or the puppies, unfortunately. It was a strange call for me to make, I gotta say, when I call the people and I'm like, well, I have good news. I'm basically telling them they've sent 2 dogs to camp and they're picking up 10. But they were happy and nice and said they'd come in a few days, and that was weeks ago. So I do think that I will be finding homes for the 8 black and white puppies who are so gorgeous. They are so beautiful. Couldn't be a better outcome. 3 boys, 5 girls, already 1 spoken for. So hallelujah on that. And I found a foster mom to take 2, perhaps 3, if I'm persuasive. And she'll find homes for them. So we're just working on the rest and then the parents. It's not something I wanted to do this summer, but it's definitely a labor of love. And the beauty of watching a dog become a mama and take care of her young and watching them open their eyes, see you for the first time, see her, their mom for the first time, the way they sound, the way they smell, all of that is amazing. It's just a beautiful, beautiful scene. The second you walk into the barn, you get this vibe of just contentment. It's energy, but it's such a baby energy. I can't explain it until you feel it. But the mom is looking at you like, look what I did, all proud and happy, happy, happy and excited to see you. And the babies are all squirming around and talking because she's left them to greet you. And you go over to them and they're all excited to see you too. And they're looking at you like, oh, that's you who's been petting me all these weeks. Hello. You know, it's an amazing hello. And you just pick them up and make eye contact and touch them and keep them close to mom while you do it. So they get this very good, all sort of well-being feeling all over of comfort and contentment that goes along with being next to their mom. But now they're with you. So the human addition is part of that early, early memory of safety, right? You get that right early. And they're just, they're little black and white little panda Jersey cow puppies. That's the only way I could explain it. Gorgeous little things. And none of them are weak. There's a few little ones and one very large one. But neither parent is big. Mom's quite small, maybe 25, 30 pounds, and dad's about 45 pounds. So they're not huge dogs, and they'll be herding dogs. And if anyone local is interested, by the time you hear this show, they'll probably be available. So check out Camp Good Dog. Oh, if you want to see pictures of these beautiful puppies, we do post them regularly, along with pictures of our campers. So go to Facebook, Camp Good Dog, and we're up in British Columbia, Canada. And we post pictures of all these different dogs from the city who come here when their owners are on holiday. And you see them get like dirty. You see them roll in tall grass and swim in the pond and play with other dogs. For the dogs, it's like living at the dog park, you know, when all your friends are there. your owner's not too busy to take you. And it doesn't matter what the weather is. You're still going to get to go for walks every day off leash. And so they're pretty happy. You'll see them grinning from ear to ear. And right now we have a heat wave. So most of them, even the ones that don't swim, they kind of half swim. They wade into the pond and cool off or intentionally get splashed by other dogs going in and out, that kind of thing. So they cool off. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful time of year out here in British Columbia. You know, we manage through this dark, wet winter. And then this year, like last year, June, we called it Junuary because it was wet. Very, very wet. And now, ta-da, it's a heat wave. It's 80 degrees, 25 to 30 every day, and no rain in sight. And so people like me are happy, very, very happy. It does mean, though, that we have to worry about fires. And so you should have a crate or kennel for every pet you've got. Now, they do collapse, so you can fold them all into one and use it as a storage box, but you should have one. I find dogs like them. Just to have one out somewhere that they can run into during a thunderstorm or when kids are bugging them or whatever. You can even take the door off it. I find dogs like to have one around. But you should have one for every pet. And you should have meds. And if you've got prescription meds, keep a copy of the prescription in case you have to relocate with your pet and go fill it somewhere. You might not be able to reach your vet. Your vet may be flooded or under, you know, a fire or evacuation warning too if it's local to you. So have that all with you. Have rabies and vaccine proofs on your phone or with you. And water and bowls, collapsible bowls are great. Make sure your kennel's stackable. So if you end up at a shelter or rescue place and they're stacking all the dogs together, your dog's not a pain or not welcome. And if you've got dogs and cats that don't like a kennel, it's time to work on that. It's really easy to do. I mean, cats love enclosed spaces anyway. So just put their food in there sometimes. With the door off or open, you know, or put some catnip in there or some toys or play with them in there or cuddle with them in there. I mean, you can get a cat used to a little kennel really easily because they love boxes and it's just a box. So start now, though. Make it something that's not part of an emergency, not part of a vet visit, just because, you know, just because. And with dogs, make it a game. It's not just punishment place, right? It's not just go to the vet time. It's where's your bowl? It's go get your bone. It's where's your treat? Yeah. And if your dog really, really loves kids, like loves them, some golden retrievers are like this, some spaniels. Most dogs don't love kids to this degree, but they might love a kid. If they really, really, really love the kids, then kids can play with them in the kennel. But most dogs will use the kennel to escape children who are just a little too much. So that's a good thing to remember. And I always choose kennels that don't let the light in. I know it seems to us like they might like it more open, like the cage style. But dogs, their eyes are on the top of their head, and the lights that we choose that beam down on them are pretty irritating. So for a dog to get into a dark, cozy cave, that's kind of important. So the kind that are solid are better. Now, if you made the mistake and you bought the cage kind, you can always cover it with a blanket, as long as your dog's not the kind who pulls blankets through and eats them. You know, if your dog's a well-behaved dog, you could cover it with a blanket, and then it becomes a closed, cozy cave. Oh, I've run out of time already, and I was going to talk about some more stuff. Well, we'll talk about some more stuff next week. Yeah, I wanted to talk about something strange going on with the dolphins and the manatees. So I'll save that for next week. Until next week, from me and Animal Party, Pet Life Radio, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.